Today's daf is Daf Lamed Hey. We're trying to figure out the basis of the machlokas between the Chachomim and Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah of why it is that if you lock the Eruv in a Migdal, which we haven't completely defined, and you lose the key, that according to the Chachomim it's no problem and it's an Eruv, even though the Chora you can't get to your Eruv. And according to Rebbe Eliezer, it's not considered to be an Eruv unless you know that the key is in its proper place. Now, its proper place may not necessarily mean in the Migdal itself. In other words, you know that even though you can't, maybe it's similar to means, even though you can't remember exactly where that is, you put it away, let's say, you put the key away somewhere, and right now you can't remember where you put it, but you know that it's where you put it. You put it in a drawer, you don't remember which drawer. So in other words, it's still theoretically accessible. If you don't know that, and the Mafteach is lost somewhere, then it's not an Eruv. So we explained yesterday, according to Rav Shmuel, that the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe Eliezer is in a case where the Migdal is made out of bricks, not where it's made out of wood, and the question over here is whether it's mutter, as Rebbe Meir says, if you have something made out of bricks that isn't actually cemented together, so that each brick is loose like a pile of blocks, whether you can remove a couple and stick your hand in and get out your food, which according to Rebbe Meir you can do even lechatchila, but according to Rabbanan, when it comes to Shaila, there the question was the Gabi Yontif, whether it's muktzah, not according to Rabbanan, the question arises only if during Shabbos it's broken, but not that you have a right to go into it. So then it becomes a machlokas, Gabi muktzah, if it was not accessible before Shabbos. Before Yontif, rather, maybe it's a muktzah. Fine, so by extension, Chachomim over here, hold a Rebbe Meir. There's no problem in taking out a brick and getting to your Eruv, and Rebbe Eliezer doesn't hold a Rebbe Meir, and the Mela, he's not matur unless you know how to get in with the key. You know that the key is at least available. But that would mean, says the Gemara, that it has to be talking about a case of an Eruv for Yontif, because the only reason that we were matur over there in the Chachila would be because of Simchas Yontif, or because it's a Rechel Nefesh, and then we weren't able to do it yesterday because it was for whatever, I'm ever told. So you precisely why it's considered to be mutter of Rechel Nefesh, but in any event, that's why Rebbe Meir was matur. Shenkin over here, Lechora, we're talking about Shabbos, no? That's where we were up. By the way, I mean, we could easily have said at that point, no, okay, even so. Legabe Yontif, it was talking about opening it up. Over here, it's talking about the theory of whether it would have been openable, Ben HaShemoshes. Maybe it's going a little bit of Rebbe. And Rebbe holds it, it's only an Isidrab on him. So there's no problem. So Tosis explains that we don't want to say that because we just finished saying that the Sefer is going a little bit of Rabbanah. The Sefer is talking about the Kona. That if it's planted, it's also Lishtamish B'ilan. If it's going according to Rebbe, there's no problem of Lishtamish B'ilan, Ben HaShemoshes. So therefore, we don't want to say that. We want to say it's going a little bit of Rabbanah. And Mamela, we need to figure out why it would be mutter, not why it would be only also mitter Rabbanan, right? Okay, so there are other cases coming that it's mutter, is that it's yontif. So the Gemara has a problem with the Mishnah referring to a case of yontif. What's the problem of it's being yontif? Problem of it's being yontif is that the Braisa on this Mishnah brings out Aliba the Rebbe Eliezer that it actually depends where you lost the key. That if you know that the key fell in the city somewhere and it was Nimtza Mafteach. So over there, there's no problem if it's in a city, because according to Rebbe Eliezer, you can carry in the city somehow by going up Aliba Rebbe Shimon from a chotzer to a gag to a karfah. Ultimately, you'll get it to your Eruv. Well, what else? There's no Isser carrying on yet. Rebbe Shimon holds that something in a chutzah you can carry up to a gag. But that's the whole point of Gemara's making. If you're telling me it has to do with where the key is lost, and because it's an agav, you can carry it, it's obviously not talking about Yontif, it's talking about Shabbos. But that bothered us, because then if it's talking about Shabbos, we now don't have the heter of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir was only saying you could take a brick out on Yontif. So Elamai, we're going to say it's going to Rebbe's, and we're going to make a machlokas, Rebbe for Rabbanan, it's not reasonable to say that's what they were being chaylik in. So that's what we were holding yesterday. So the Gemara wanted to explain, let's start at the top of Lamed Heyomet. He was planning on pouring epoxy over the whole mess. So now, says the Gemara yesterday, Lamed Heyomet Aleph on the top, Chisuri B'chasa, what we'll have to say is, the Braisa that's explaining the Mishnah, it wasn't explaining the Mishnah directly, it was adding a little piece. So it was saying, look, if the case, which is the case of the Mishnah, so now we want to expand on this in the Braisa. Why be Yontav? Because the whole point is that according to Rebbe Meir, it's mutter to open up the bricks on Yontav, because it's Erech HaEchol Nefesh. Aval b'Shabbat, ein Eruvo Eruv. Now, we want to introduce a new issue. Nimtza HaMafteach. And this would be even if the Mafteach is found on Shabbat Gufa. So now it's clear where it was, Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShemoshes. Nimtza HaMafteach. I don't care where it was found, if there was no way to get into it at the time, because I can't carry it, even theoretically, if I don't hold the Rebbe Shimon. I don't hold the Rebbe Shimon. So wherever the Mafteach was lost, I don't care if it's Behir, I don't care if it's Besada, the Eruv is not an Eruv. It's here that we introduce the new thing that Rebbe Eliezer ain't or not. Depends. Behir Eruv or Eruv, Besada and Eruv or Eruv. Because in the city, you're bound to find a way to carry the key. Why? Yirei Ruvoi Ruv Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says Echad Gagot, Echad Chatzirot, Echad Karfifot are all Rishut Achatein. The Kelim Shishavtu B'Tochan. So since the key dropped somewhere, either in a Chotzer, it dropped in a Karfaf somewhere, in a Mavui somewhere, it's all the same Rishut. So you can carry it ultimately to the place where you wanted to have your Eruv and open up the door. Why? Because I hold the Rabbi Shimon. But if it was Besadeh, how are you going to carry a Mafteach here on Shabbos? So over there, we're not going like Rabbi. So over there, in Eruvo Eruv. And again, according to our Gir Tzitzak, it says Kerabbanon that argue on Rabbi. Although it's really not Nagea, because we're assuming it's Rabbanon all along, which is why some don't have this entire Keta Bechlam in the Gir. But so in any event, it turns out like this. So Rashi originally said that there's three Shitot. There's Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mishnah is not Mechalik between Shabbos and Yantar. Excuse me, between Sada and Yir. There's Rabbi Eliezer and the Braita that's Mechalik between Sada and Yir. As Tosis points out, I mean, Rashi seems, I mean, according to the way we're explaining it now, the Rashi is irrelevant. Because there are no three Shitas. The Mishnah was talking about Yantar. And the Machlokas on Yantar is whether we go like Rabbi Meir, that you're allowed to uncover it or not, the brave. And the bride is adding a different machlokas on Shabbos, which the Mishnah wasn't referring to. One has nothing to do with another. There's no reason to make a three shitot, as if there's two different pshatim and Rebbe Eliezer. At this point, it's very simple. The bride introduces a whole new issue, which is the shaila of whether you're passing like Rabbi Shimon or not, and therefore you need to have the mafteach. The mafteach could be anywhere in the city, as long as you're going to be able to carry it somewhere like Rabbi Shimon. Or whether you don't know the Rabbi Shimon, and that's why there are the machlokas over here between the Rabbanan and Rebbe Eliezer, separate machlokas referring to Shabbos, whereas the machlokas in the mission refers to Yontif. Everything is very simple. One has nothing to do with the other. There are no two different shitas in Rebbe Eliezer, Vakol Shor Rebbe Kayam. Clear?
Would you say the price of the bricks? Would you say the price of the bricks were cemented or not? The
price doesn't make any difference, because even the Rabbanan agree that you can't take it apart on Shabbos. So, turns out now, with this chat, we have two separate machlokas in Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan. One benogea Yontif, which is a machlokas as to whether you're allowed to pick out bricks that aren't cemented on Yontif, and the other is a machlokas legabe Shabbos, whether something in a city would be carryable if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, the Gagas, Kafefas, Katseras, all Rishosachas, the Shabbos, for Kalim, for Shavtu, Petochan, in this case, the Mafteach was Shavit, Petochan, somewhere in the Chatzim, or not. Everything is very simple. So that's one approach to the Mishnah. Albeit it's a little bit stretching it, because we're forced to say the Mishnah is talking about Dafka and Yontif, and it's a machlokas legabe, I mean, a whole new thing. It's not a migdal that's made out of wood, which is usually what a migdal is. It's a migdal that's made out of bricks. It's not normal bricks. It's bricks that are piled up, and the aliens can't get to it because it sounds a little bit stretched. But anyway, it works. I mean, maybe it's Richard's pshat, it was dwarves. Rav and Rav Yezid don't like this pshat, for obvious reasons. I said, listen, we're talking about a migdal. Migdal's made out of wood. What are we going to all of this? Why don't we say it's a regular closet, okay? And the shaila is very simple. Can you break open a closet or not? And that machlokas is based on the shaila of whether we're talking about a closet, which is a kli, or is it a closet, as the closet of a din of a house, of an ohel? And that's the machlokas. Ocha b'migdal shel eitz askinan. The mar savar klihu, v'ein binyan b'kelim, v'ein stirah b'kelim, v'omad yom ha'otzlok. So it's not b'chuber to the ground. So, okay, so it's made like a house. I mean, it's a portable house, it's a kli, basically. So if it's a kli, there's no din of binyan v'stirah. Mashen yom ha'otzlok, but it's not movable, you don't move it around. So therefore, it's considered to be an oil. And if it's an oil, then obviously that's the main halacha binyan v'stirah. And we know that there's such a machlokas, say now Rav and Rav Yosef. Why? B'plutah d'hanikanoi, d'tznan. We find legabe the halachas. Actually, I shouldn't say the Tanan, because we're going to see later we're not referring to the Mishnah in Zavin. We're actually referring to a similar bright the Tosefta of Zavin. But anyway, let's take the Tanya. The point over here is we're going to discuss the status of this thing in terms of Hesed. Hesed means that a Zav now moves something. Remember, when a Zav moves something, we have a new Tuma that makes that thing tummy. Normally, it's the other way around. The Torah person moves the Zav. The Torah person carries the Zav. That's a normal Naseh. Over here, the Zav carries or moves. It stands in one side of a scale while somebody else on the other side of the scale. However that happens, that's considered to be Tumas Heset Azov, and in this case would become Tomei. Now we see that there's a machloket as to whether to view a closet as a house. House can't become Tomei, considered to be part of the ground. Or is it clean? Because it says over there in Zavim, Hikish Agave Shidate Vav Migdal. Let's say that a Zav wants to get into this closet and the aliens are hiding inside. So he knocks on the door. Because he knocks on the door, it shakes. So if it shakes, now it turns out that he was Mezitz. So then it would be Tamei. Whereas in the Chemia, Rabbi Shimon holds, no, even if he knocks on the door, it's Tahar. Why is it Tahar? So my love, welcome if look at. Mar Savar Klihu, Umar Savar Oelu. Must be that there's a machlokus about how to view a closet. Is a closet a house, or is it a closet just a large container? If it's a container can be makabel tumah. So he knocked on the door, he was matame. The other man, the armored star, mechora holds it, doesn't have a din of a kli anymore. Therefore, say now, Rabban, Rabbi Yosef, by extension, the same machlokus by Shabbat, would also define whether there's binyan v'kelim. If it's kelim, there's no problem, I can break down the door. I mean, not, I mean fine, but therefore, at least the gabi erivin would be kosher. The other man, the armored, says, no, you can't, because it's considered to be a house. Omra Abaye, Betizbara. You really think that that's the machlokes about whether it's considered to be a kli or an oil? But Tanya, the Braisa says, Ohel v'niseit tamei, kli ve'eino niseit tahor. If something is an ohel, but it moves when you bang on it, it's tamei. If something is a kli and it doesn't move, it's tahor. It's all a function of hesed. It's not a function of its shame kli or shame ohel. Furthermore, if you take a look in the Sefer, this is why it should say the Tanya, because this does not appear in the Sefer in the Mishnah and stuff. It only appears in the Sefer the Braisa. The Ketani Sefer, the ima yuni satim tamei, says beferish that if the shida teva u'migdal that you knocked on were movable, everybody would be baited that it's tamei. Zeh haklal. Yeah, not movable, moved. If they move when you bang on. Zeh haklal. This is the rule. Niseit machmat kocho tamei. If something moves because he touched it directly, so he knocked on it, then it's tamei. Machmat re'ada. However, if he now does something that makes this shape, he stomps on the ground right next to it. By stomping on it, he sets up vibrations that cause this thing to shake. Then it's considered to be tahor. So no, if that's the case, they can't possibly be arguing about whether it's a kli or whether it's an oil, because it's obviously irrelevant if it's a kli or an oil. So therefore, this has nothing to do with what Rabban Rav Yosef were explaining. I'm sorry. So what's the pshat meaning? Elam Rabaye. Rabaye explains the Mishnah. The machlokis in the Mishnah, kuleyama, heset machmat kocho is tummy. Everyone is made a, knocks on the door, whether it's an oil or a kli, it would be tummy. Everyone is made a, that whether if he bangs on the ground, whether it's a kli or whether it's an oil, and it trembles, machmat real. It's tahor. That's for sure. I don't know. Over here, we're talking about where not that he bangs on the ground and makes it shake, but rather what he does is he knocks on the door or he knocks on the side of the shita table mikdal. However, it doesn't actually move. All he does is he sets up vibrations in it, but it doesn't jump from its place for a minute. Or it's not that he wasn't strong enough to actually move it aside or to make it pop up. So that's the machlokas is re'ada, which is essentially a movement, a wave-like movement, where the actual feet remain where they were, but there's waves that are set up now in the Shita Teva V'Migdal. So each particular piece of the Shita Teva V'Migdal does move a little bit, but waves don't really go anywhere, just like in the wave in the ocean. It's not going anywhere, everything stays in the same place. But it's moving up and down, it looks like it's going somewhere. So you think that the waves are going to push something in, but they don't push anything. Basically, the thing just goes up and down along with the waves. So the Shaila is a wave considered to be an actual movement? That's the machlokas. So he actually used koko to set up this wave. Not that he banged on the ground and then the wave in the ground made this thing move, but rather he hit it himself. And that's the machlokas in the Braita and in the Mishnah, for that matter, between Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. And Mimela has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Well, not Yomel's wave is not called as. So what about our Mishnah? If the Mishnah is a Migdal Shalait, and the machlokas cannot be whether Migdal Shalait has a din of an Olel or has a din of a Kli, so what then is the machlokas in the Mishnah according to this approach that we're not dealing with the Shiloh bricks and blocks and Rebbe Meir and Yontif? We're dealing with Shabbos and regular Mikdash Shalit. What's the machlokas? I'm by a brother, Dami Tarvayu. Let me explain what the machlokas is. It's talking about Bemin all of the Katurs. It's talking about that you have over here a door that's closed with a lock, but the lock is on a chain that's made out of rope. You have a rope, and that's mechuber now, and that's basically the lock. That's why I have the lock.
The rope is the chain.
The rope is the chain. So now the question is, can I simply cut the rope? Saying I don't have a key to the lock. Good, so I'll cut the rope. What's the problem? Oh, so boy sakina lamifseke. You need now a knife to cut through the rope. Okay. Now cutting through the rope lamaisa, in other words, let's say to tear the rope on your your hand. That would for sure be okay. Because since over here it's pure mikalko, all you're doing is you're opening up a package to eat some food. I mean, that's what you're doing. So if you have a package on Shabbos, you're allowed to cut it open to eat food. So to tear the package with your hands to get the food, that's okay. But the problem over here is that it's so thick you need a knife. Huh? You need a knife, so what's the problem? So bring a knife. Oh, remember that we have a sheet Dichter holds you can't use a knife on Shabbos if not for its primary purpose. And its primary purpose is not cutting ropes. Its primary purpose is to cut divrei achila. So therefore, Tanakama Savlak Rav Yossi, the Omar Kol HaKelim Nitolim B'Shabbat Chutz Mimesar HaGadol V'Yatecho Makrisha. The only thing that you cannot move on Shabbos Letzerech is where it's Mukta Makma Chison Kis. So something that was Koveh Alom Makom that you would set aside and you wouldn't use for other purposes. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds like a sheet of Rabbi Nechemia, who holds you cannot even pick up a talit for that matter, to use the talit for, let's say, picking up a hot pot. Talit is mukta. A talit is meant to be worn, not to pick up a hot pot. So afilu talit, afilu tarvad, any talin, ela, letzorak tashmisham. Since letzorak tashmisham means the ikar tashmish, and the ikar tashmish of a knife is not for cutting ropes, it's for cutting your bread and for cutting your meat and so on. And therefore, the machlokas over here is that according to the Tanakh, who cares if you have the key? You don't need the key. Pick up a knife from your kitchen and cut through the rope. What's the problem? Whereas according to Rebbe Eliezer, I can't pick up a knife because the knife isn't meant for cutting ropes. And it's nothing to do really with questions of Kli, Rebbe Meir's, Yontevs. It's a good old-fashioned question about Mukta on Shabbos, and that's how to understand the Mishnah. Then you don't have to go into this business about bricks. And it's very simple. The Shabbos Mukta question.
That be a difference between the outside layer?
I don't know. That's how Rabbi Nechemia
sees it. I knew that normally we say kol makal in Turin, which is about Rabbi Lazar, but here, since it's Eichel inside, therefore we say it's kol makal, because it's Eichel, because it's Eichel.
Cutting through a barrel,
I'm sure.
Doctor,
the commissioner. I was
president.
Wait,
you can cut through a barrel?
It was hesitant.
He was hoping to come in last minute.
He's a president who's nechba l'akelim. So he would only be going quite a sheet.
Shh.
Oh. Just in time. Let's do it correctly. There we go. No wonder he was hesitant. He had full confidence. Nitgalgel chutz l'tchum. How about if the Eruv rolled out of the tchum in which the person who was going to be shoveit is now found? In other words, the guy's in his house. He sends out an Eruv. The guy was supposed to put the Eruv within the tchum of his house, obviously. If you put an Eruv beyond the tchum of your home, then you can't get to your Eruv, then the Eruv is not an Eruv. That clear? You can't put your Eruv in the middle of the Yenim zone. You can only put your Eruv in a place where you're able to go from your house to the Eruv. So it's 2,000 amas to the Eruv. The usefulness of the Eruv is extended another 2 amas further in that direction, which stops you from using your 2,000 amas in the other direction. Now you moved your house to the mokum of the Eruv virtually, yeah? But suppose the guy would have set up the Eruv outside of your 2,000 amas. It's not an Eruv, because you can't get to the Eruv. So therefore, the Rabbanah left you back in your house. The Rabbanah didn't say, okay, so then your mokum shvis is out in the middle of nowhere, now you can't move. That didn't say it. So that's not an Eruv. So an Eruv can be set up only where it's set up within a place where you can actually get to it within your tchum. The guy sits down the Eruv. Problem is that the Eruv rolls out of the tchum. So now, say like this. So what? Let's imagine that. I mean, what have we been doing all along? We've been saying, if the guy would be in his Mokum Shvi, and he would be able, theoretically, to get from his Mokum Shvi to his Eruv, so there would be no problem. So same thing is true over here. If he would be in his Mokum Shvi, he would have 2,000 amas. So what's so bad that it rolled 4 amas? From his Mokum Shvi, he could always get to his Eruv. Not to mention the fact that if you hold of Rebbe, it would be Bein HaShmosha, Tchumen HaDrabonon, so he should be able to go out of the Tchum anyway and get it.
But he can't bring it back.
What do you mean?
He can get it, but he couldn't bring it back.
It'd be too late. Right. It's still be Ben Ashmosha. So it shouldn't be a problem.
So that's what talking was in this Gagel before Ben Ashmosha.
Yeah, well, that's the only time it's in a Gagel. Once it's, I mean, if it's Gagel after Shabbos,
it right?
Doesn't matter. Once Shabbos was Ritra, it's Ritra, he said the Gagel. So this is let's ignore the 4 amas issue, which we'll get to in a moment in the Gemara. So basically what we have over here is a understanding of the nature of the takana of Eruv. This is not similar to the cases that we had before about can I get to the Eruv? Is it who they ruv of the Mokum Echad? That's not the point. The point over here is that because we view the tikkun of the Mokum Shvisa as being dependent on the placement of the Eruv, and that's how you're being Kena Shvisa, we cannot say that there's two different issues, the Eruv being in one place where that place is not roy to be the Mokum of the Eruv, and you being in a different place. There's a concept here of the original Tikkun HaErev needs to be the Mokum of your Shvisa, and since you are not Betchum the Eruv, even though you say, but I'm in the Tchum of my Mokum Shvisa, you can't use that Eruv, which is outside of your Tchum, to create a Mokum Shvisa for something which is in the Tchum. Because there's an inherent contradiction between using an Eruv as a Mokum Shvisa that cannot be your Mokum Shvisa. You see, now this is a whole new concept. It's an insight into the way the Chachamim viewed the nature of the Tikkun of Eruv. We're introducing a new idea. And that idea is to be within the tum of your Eruv, not only to be the tum within your makam, your official makam shvi'is. And say, well, but within my makam shvi'is, I could always get to my Eruv. No. The point of the Eruv is to create a makam shvi'is. So if that Eruv wouldn't work as a makam shvi'is, we don't give it a din of an Eruv at all. It doesn't start being an Eruv. Other problems, it's locked away. Those problems we can handle. But we cannot handle a placement which is outside of the tum, because that's the whole nature of Eruv. Mamela, the Rabbanan were not mitakein an Eruv in a case where the Eruv is outside of the Eruv. Now, one additional point is, as Saba Josh just raised, which is, but Lamaisa, the word place for Mokam Shvisa includes Arba Amot. So as long as it's within that, fine, that the Gemara will say, Enochinami, that's true. When we say it rolled out of the Tchum, out of the Tchum means out of the Tchum that's defined by an Arba Amot area, which is your own, even if you've been out of it. Okay. So in one sense, we got a problem with this Gaur. Another case we have where, no, actually the Eruv is in its place, but the building collapsed. Now you can't get to it without digging. Or let's say it got burnt up. Or let's say it was truma and it became tameh. So now it's useless to anybody. So now, in all of these cases, the significant issue is, when did it happen? If it was bibaod yom before ben hashmashot, so then en eruv eruv. If it's mishach hashecha, arein eruv. If Shabbos was already chal, in other words, during ben hashmashot, the eruv was there. Fine. So that was kind of ben hashmashot. We have the klal Shabbat hoyov utra utra, and now I have no problem. But how about if it's a suffix now, and I don't know in this case whether it was bibaod yom or was mishach hashecha? So there we have a machlok. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yudaimrim, Areza Chamar Gamal. This is a case that this, we're going to have a lot of cases of Chamar Gamal. Chamar Gamal means that you are in a very desperate situation. Because, you see, you've got your Chamor pulling ahead in one push-pull, exactly. You've got your Chamor pulling ahead in one direction, and your Gamal is going the other, because normally you're behind your Chamor getting to move. You're pulling your camel the other way. Here the Chamor is going this way, the camel's going that way, and you're stuck in the middle. Meaning what? That since we're Misupak, where your Bakam Shvis is, the only place where you can walk is between the Chamor, which is your Erev on one side, and the Gamal, which is your home on the other side, because the home's pulling you to stay within 2,000 amas of the home. But the camel is the Chamor, which is the Erev, is pulling you to stay within 2,000 amas of the Erev. So you can't walk further away from your home in the other direction, because maybe the Erev is your Makom Shvisa. But you can't walk further than the Erev in the other direction, because maybe your home is your Makom Shvisa. Therefore, the area between the home and the Erev is the only area that you can walk. That's Chamor Gamal.
He's cut himself down to 2,000.
Exactly. All he did was limit himself, you know, in one direction.
Wait. Why would he have 6,000?
Please don't let him confuse you. Everything is fine.
So it's the worst of both.
It's the worst of both worlds.
Doesn't help.
He limits his house to only one direction, to the direction of his Erev, and it doesn't help him to extend beyond his Erev.
He has only the 2,000 back to his house, but not
2,000 beyond, and not the 2,000 he would have had without the Erev on the other side.
Right. This would actually work.
Maybe there'll be a little bit of Derek Eretz for a man who does a mountain climb every year. You could just stop it. No way?
No way.
Okay. So, according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to be machmer on the guy. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, it's a Sufik Erev. The Sufik Erev is kasher. Omer of Yossi, I'll have you know that Avtumus was made in the name of Chamisha Zekenim, that a Sufik Erev is kasher. You're not a Chamar Gamal. Says the Gemara. We'll see what all of this is depending. Nizgalgo chutz l'tchum, says Rava, as Saba Josh explained before. Lo shono ela shenitgalgel chutz li'arba amot. Avotoch arba amot. Hanoteni uvo anyway yesh lo arba amot. When we say nitgalgel chutz l'tchum means that there's not an overlap of his place of arba amot with the Eruv. But if since wherever you would put an Eruv, the place of the Eruv is defined by definition as extending, according to many Rishonim, 4 amos in every direction. According to others, the Eruv is in the middle and it's 4 amos around the total. So the question of years, whether it would have to be literally with the two, or whether it could actually be within 4. So the only case in our mission is Galga, we have a problem, is where it's outside of that limit. But since it would be the same, and this is of course Rava again, this is the third issue that we've had, in other words, where Rava says, since according to Dinim of Tumim, you have virtual mechitzas in a city, so it's all considered to be Mali, it doesn't matter whether it's technically, which is Ram, which is Ayafi. By extension, we explain that Rava holds, since you have 4 Amas around you, those 4 Amas are virtual mechitzas, and also define Uve Ruve Gemokam Echad. This is a similar idea. You have 4 Amas anyway, so the place where the Erev is, if it's within that area, is within your area. And therefore, it's not considered to be outside of the Torah.
Even if it's outside of the
Torah. Right. Nafal of Gal, so, Kasab Dr. Gibbon Matsi. Wait, so in other words, I mean, at least we assume, you mean that if you wanted to, you could pick up the stone, building fell on, pick up the stone, and the only problem is it's a Nisid Rabbona. Okay.
of the collapse. Well, I mean, there are stones and rocks. The problem is that you can't pick up the stones. And then if it would be gone, according to Rebbe, there would be no problem because it's only just a drop on it. So we thought, if that's the case, we thought there's no physical problem of picking up the stones. There's only a halachic problem of a stone being mukt. In which case, must we conclude, is this Mishnah also connected to Rebbe? Because, I thought Rebbe said, that since the Yisra moving a stone, I mean, it's only drabonin, so why can't I do it ben hashmashot, litzar of the Erev? In which case, I have a theoretical Erev over here, because I could always get the food by picking up the stone. There's a Gemara, not necessarily. I mean, it could be if a building collapsed, it could be that you need to bring in a bulldozer to lift up the dirt and so on. That would be real chafirah. That's not, that's binyan. So it could be it's talking about the boy more of a chatzina that you need over here. You need digging instruments. And we need all of the cases here. The nitgalgel and the nisraf and the nafal and the... Got a brilliant question. Whatever the problem is, in all of these issues, isn't Amir Liakum Mishvuz, and therefore we should be able, forget about this case, every single case we've had until now. Couldn't you always get a guy to go and do it for you, and then it would always be Mishvuz, which according to Rebbe should always be Mutter? Okay, he can't argue it. Okay, we'll have to see what the biyada includes as we go along in the sermon. See whether Amir Le'akum would be considered to be biyada to get to the air. So now, why don't we say over here just one of these cases and let it stand in from all of them? No, you need all of them. Say over there, nitgalgel. That's a special case. That's a case where he's not his makom shmisa doesn't have an air. That's a different issue. That's because the wetter gabe. But as far as nafal of gal, so it's there. The ita gabe, it's in his makom shmita. So maybe that would be an air. On the other hand, if it's a nafal of gal, I would say, okay, the Erev is Michse, it's covered, and now there's no way that it's going to become available to me. Avo nitgalgel. So now listen, and if a big wind would have come along, and the wind would have blown it right back to its right place just in time, I mean, that would be okay. So it's theoretically okay, no? So Zinadarthi Ziko Maitile, in Lahavi Erev, so maybe that should be an Erev since it's within the realm of possibility. Therefore, Tzricha, we need the cases to tell me that none of these things are taken. Only Sraf, Truma, Benitina, why do we need that case? Of Nisraf. Normally, Tana Nisraf. What's added by a case of Nisraf? I mean, we had two cases. We had a case of Nisraf and a case of Nitmeis. It's basically the same thing. You can't use the Truma. I'll tell you. Tana Nisraf, the Mishnah's come to tell me two different things. Nisraf is a big Kiddush to tell me Kocho de Rebbe Yossi, that even though it doesn't exist at all, perhaps, nonetheless, Rebbe Yossi says, Safek Erev Kosher. So say, well, what if it's Sabisha? And if it's here, Mele, you could say, all right, let's define it's Halacha. Maybe we should say it's Chazok, it's still Tor, because it was Tor before, it became Tameh later. So it's Chazok, it became Tameh the last. It's not even here. There's nothing to be Nidai on. Nonetheless.
Something is what time it happened.
Yeah, we don't know whether it was there, Banash Marjus, or not. Nonetheless, Rebbe Yossi says, doesn't matter. Doesn't even exist. The Erev is still Kosher, because maybe it did exist. Tana Truma, and it's made to tell me, Lodiacha Kocha to Rebbe Meir, that even though it's here, and I can therefore be done a different level of chazak and say, okay, what's the din of this truma? At what point did it become tummy? At a kaskastaira. So I should say, okay, the chazaka, let's be maimon of chazaka, was tor until the very last minute. We don't say that. We don't rely on a chazaka lakula. That's a tremendous chiddush. That tells me the chiddush I'll leave with the Rebbe Meir. So you're telling me now that according to what does Rebbe Meir hold? That sveika lechumra? Always we go a suffik lechumra? I mean, what about Vatsnan? How about the case where we have a suffik legabidin in mikveh? You have a guy who's tummy. He went into a mikveh to be teivel. And now, Safek Taval, Safek Lo Taval, we're not sure whether he did the tefillah completely or not, or even if he did, we're not sure that the mikveh had arbaim saw at the time, because we found out later on that it was chaser, and now we have a Safek if at the time it was already chaser, because Lefanena was chaser. We don't know if it was chaser at the time, maybe it was became chaser later, and for that matter, even if we have a case, Chet Shnei Mikvos, we know there are two mikvos here. One of them definitely has arbaim saw. 100% the kosher mikveh was there in front of us. One definitely was not kosher. The guy went into one of them, Tava Bachat, Mevani Odeh, Dezimim Tava. Well, over there you could say for sure, let me rely that there was one that was kosher here, definitely. In all of these cases, Sveiko Tameh. But when? Bamed Dvar Mamurim, only where you're talking about a Tumah D'Oraisa, a Tumah Chamura. Tumah Chamura means something that's able to be Matameh Yodim D'Oraisa, it's an Avatumah. But if you have Tumah Kala, which D'Oraisa, the guy wasn't even really Tameh, it was only the Rabbanan created a Tumah, for instance. What do we mean Tumah Kala? We had a din of being metame a body by eating eichlin tmeim. But your eyes says such thing is impossible. I mean, either something is metame you or it's not metame you. Can't have a metame you, even though it's not an avatula, but since you ate it, it's because no such thing. Okay, but the rabbanon made it. That's called tumakala. Or you were sheisem ashkin tmeim. Or the, one of the yutches dvorim. Haboro shoveru bo b'mayim shuvim. You went and you dipped in a swimming pool. Oshen naflu aroshavaru bo shloshalugim mayim shuvim. You took a shower. Now, you're yored litbol, and there it's a suffix tova, suffix lo tova. Or for that matter, even if we know you went completely into the mikvah, suffix, whether it had arbaim sa, tova bar barim sa, suffix lo tova bar barim sa, or even the case, or not even in this case, it's certainly in a case where shnei mikvahot ba'achat yesh b'mar barim sa, achat ein b'mar barim sa. In all of these cases, where, and here you're tova bach v'ni yodeh b'ez mentol, over there, of course, veko tahor. Why not? Because since it's only a suffix rabbanon, so over here we'll be mekel. So I understand. So if that's the case, in our case of an eruv, it's also a suffix rabbanon. Mm-hmm. So how come Rabbi Meir all of a sudden is being so machmer that the eruv, if I don't know 100%, then the eruv is a suffix, he's chamer grama, he should say suffix eruv is the coolest. Same thing obviously, suffix mikvah, the gabi the tefillah is the coolest. We made a takana because of remember back in Shabbos with Yud Kesavon. We made a takana that taking a shower makes you tummy because people used to think that in order to make sure that they wouldn't end up thinking that a shower is could take the place of a mikveh, so they would have to made it. No, it was tahor even. Tummy. In order to avoid this problem, so that way people realize that showers don't make you tahor. That's for sure.
What about people that jump in the shower? You mean everybody today takes a shower?
No, they do not.
You'd be surprised.
Everybody is a terrible thing.
Okay, and Rabbi Yossi is metamin. Obviously, Rabbi Yossi is contradicting himself also, which we're going to ask later on. Here, Rabbi Yossi goes to Kula, where you have a sub. Here he's going with Hormat. Okay, but right now we're worried about Rabbi Meir. Tomorrow we'll ask, what about Rabbi Yossi? Also contradicting himself. But what about Rabbi Meir? Answers the Gemara, it's very simple. Rabbi Meir holds that actually Tchumim is the Araisa. So Mamela, since you're Tchumim with the Araisa, becomes a Suffolk the Araisa, and you're a Kaveh and Makam Shvisa. Suffolk the Araisa is Lachumra. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Suffer Rabbi Meir tumim d'oraisa. How do you say that? What's not? Im ein yochol lahavlio. If you cannot swallow the mountain, the case over here is the problem of how you measure a tumim. We do not use laser measurement. We use a certain type of string, and it has to be a standard length. Because if it's too long, then there's too much of the belly in it, and if it's too short, then you put on too much pressure on it. We made a standard measuring string of kamishim. Suppose you come to a gap. You don't put the string down and go up again, and that way you get basically your whole tchum is 3 inches as the crow flies. Because you went into this crevice and pulled out of the crevice. You stand on one side of the crevice, handed the string over to a guy on the other side of the crevice, and that's how you measure your chamishi mama, despite the fact that maybe 20 miles down in the crevice. But suppose the top, where you have a mountain in the way, suppose now you can't stretch it across the chamishi. No, it's too big. Chavisha doesn't cut across the entire crevice. Or it won't cut across the entire mountain. So what do you do then? You make a hole through the mountain, meaning a figurative hole. Now, what do? You don't measure across as the crow flies, but you also don't measure completely along the diagonal. What happens is you have two people. Remember, one holding one end of the rope, one holding the other end of the rope. One person holds it high, and the other person holds it low, as we'll see. And therefore, because you save the diagonal, you're measuring in aggregates of 50 amot, up again, 50 amot, up again, 50 amot. So you lift it up, the next guy goes up and holds it down. And that way, you're marviach at least that part of the diagonal. So you're not mavli. Oh, but one of them holds it and puts it kineged libo, the other one puts it kineged margilotav, as we'll see. And therefore, half of a komat adam, you're marviach each time you move the rope.
But each differentiation, you put 50 on the thing, and that kind of difference.
Well, we've got over Mount Everest, it adds up each time. Each time. So now, the problem is, since Reb Dustoy Bar Yana reports that Rebbe Meir is the one who said, Shambati Shemikadrim Baharim, I heard that you make holes through the mountain. How could you make a hole through the mountain to make now your shear? Of Alpaimama, if you're Tchumim Diaraisa, we know that when it comes to a Diaraisa, you have to measure not as the crow flies, but the actual distance that it would take you to cross it. Because where would we have a problem? Let's say for Ori Mikla. Well, you have to define where the Tchum of an Ori Mikla is, and over there, man, it's Nogea, life and death. Midiraisa, can a Gol Adam get to you? Not if you're Betoka Tchum. So over there, the Tchum is not defined by Kidira. Because Omer Nachman, Omer Rabavavua, when it comes to Ori Miklat, And when it comes to Eglah Rufa, where you're trying to define which city is closer, you don't take any shortcuts. It's the actual travel distance, and you cannot be Mikader. Lo Ba'arei Miklat, V'lo Be'Eglah Rufa, Mipnei She'ein Shel Torah. So you see that when it comes to the Oraisa, we cannot make the Kula of Mekadri. You're saying the only reason that Rabbi Meir holds a Suffolk Eruv is Osir is because you're Tzchum of the Oraisa. So then how could he hold that you're Mekadri for the Tzchum of Manishar? If he holds the Oraisa, they can't rely on Kedira. This is Rabbi Meir who's saying this. We're quoting Rabbi Meir. We can't say he argues on this. Now he holds that Kedira is the Oraisa. He's the one who holds that you cannot be Mekadri in the Oraisa. How you can explain that? Says the Gemara, only by saying that one of them he didn't hold of. One of them he was quoting his Rabbi. I'll prove it to you. Take a nami. Take a look. Tiktoni. Bezu amar Reb Dostoy b'Reb Yanai mishum Rebbe Meir shamati shemekadrim b'harim. He doesn't say I hold mekadrim b'harim. Rebbe Meir reported mishum rabotai. I was mekabel from my rabbeim that mekadrim b'harim. Secretly, I don't hold it. Because since he holds that Tchumim D'Oraita in Akinami, I wouldn't say it, that you should do such a thing.
The Dirk is in the Shamati, not in the Shamati. Not in the Bazu.
No, since he says Shamati, he said, on the Mela, I can now understand that Shamati means he's not reporting what he really holds, he's reporting what he was Makab. Shmamina. So wait a minute. But then we have even if that's true, we've got a problem. Because Rabbi Meir is Seser himself in terms of relying on a chazakah when it comes to a diaraita. Veromi diaraita diaraita, Rabbi Meir. It's not. Nagabi achad balayla, veini odea im chai imeit. Somebody is sleeping in a room. He touches the individual next to him without knowing if he's dead or alive. Lemacher ishkimu matzo meit. The next, this, you know, is a dafyomi kind of issue. You're never really sure, you know what I mean? So, in the morning... In the morning, it turns out that, he wasn't really sleeping. He was dead to the world. So the next morning, Bakar Ishkimu Mats Omeit. So now the Shaila is, I know he was alive sometime before the night. So he has a chazaka. Did say he has a chazaka? That he was alive. Let's put off his death to the last possible minute after I touched him. Maybe he left earlier, and then we find out that he's dead. So Rabbi Meir mitaher, v'chachamim mitamin. Shekolat meot kishat mitziatam. How do you explain this? And here Rabbi Meir is ready to allow the guy, because of the chazaka, so Rabbi Meir says, we can rely on that chazaka since he was high the day before. So even though we have a suffix diraisa, since we have a chazaka lakula, rely on the kula. No. So over here also, we should have a chazaka in our Mishnah, that the truma was taira. In Mesutik, when was it Torah fire? Was it Torah until the very last minute? What's the problem? Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'll tell you, said Rabbi Yirmiyah. The reason that over there we have, over here in our Mishnah, we don't have that chazaka, is because Mishnatenu is a case, kishahaya alea sheretz kol ben hashmashes. There was a sheretz on this tomb of the whole ben hashmashes, therefore there's no tzad that it was Torah ben hashmashes. So this is where
come from.
The same aliens. They started shooting Schwarzenegger. So Iyachi, Baha Lema Rabbi Yossi, Suffolk Erev Kusher. What are you talking about, Rabbi Yirmiyah? What's going on over here? How could you say such a crazy case? I mean, the Machlokas obviously is whether it's a Suffolk Erev. You're saying it's a Vada, not Erev. So why? What's it doing in our Mishnah? What's the Kiddush B'chlal? How could that be the case? If you're saying that was there, the whole Ben HaShemashas, so everybody is made if it's Tamei at the moment of the beginning of Ben HaShemashas, so then there's nothing to discuss. There's no Erev. What could Rabbi Yirmiyah have meant? Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, the Amri Tavayu, listen, Rabbi Yirmiyah is not crazy. What he meant was the cases like this. That Hacha B'shtei Kitei Edim, we're talking about over here, where we have two separate Kitot, each one of two Edim, and they argue about what is the case. What's the case? Now, obviously, as Tosus points out, we could have also said, Rabbi Yirmiyah, how could that be the case? Then why would it be Chamar Gamal according to Rabbi Meir? It would just be Vadei Noer when he has his house. Okay, that's true, we could have said that. I mean, it's a ridiculous case. So now, when we're coming now to explain, we're coming to explain what it was that Rabbi Yirmiyah meant when he said that there's a suffix. And kishahoya alavko bin hashmasha. So what we're talking about is a case where you have two kiteyim. Achat omeret mibaodion nitme, v'achat omeret mishachashecha. Basically, what we have over here is two separate edim. Those two separate edim, according to one of whom, there was a sheretz at the beginning of Ben Hashemash. According to the other Kat Edim, the sheretz only fell at the end of Ben Hashemash. So now you're going to say, okay, but Rabbi Meir holds to put on a chazaka. No, where there's Edis, we don't have a chazaka anymore. The Edis evaporates the chazaka. It's not that we're left uki trei ba'adi trei uki milzaches. That's a different approach. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of uki trei ba'adi trei. Okay, Tosis is bothered by this because Lamaisa, there are other cases where Rebbe Meir does. So you can try to arbitrate. And he explains that this case is different because we now know it's Vada Tomei Bifanein. So in such a case, we don't say you can try to arbitrate. But whatever. Again, this for this, you need the whole Reb Shimon Sefer to explain the thing of Chazaka and the Edis. But let's just take Tosis at his word. And Mamela, that's good for why Rebbe Yirmiya said, was there the whole Bein HaShemashah's meaning? Is it Tzad that it's there the whole Bein HaShemashah?
Because one group of the
one group says it was there in the beginning. One group says it at the end. So basically, the whole Bein HaShemashah's got a problem now with your Truma. So you can't use your Chazaka. So Mamela, you're left with the Chazaka, with the Suffolk without a Chazaka. Rebbe Meir holds that we go Lachumra, and because of the Arisa, and Rebbe Yossi says, Suffolk, and then we're off Tumas, Suffolk, and Chamish is a king. Suffolk, Arab is a cooler. You don't have to worry about Chamargon. Rava Amar, Rava says, there's no comparison. In the case where Rebbe Meir said you can rely on the Chazaka, so over there, you've got Trey Chazaki Lakula. There you've got two separate Chazakas, which is why we go Lakula. Let's say, indeed, that in such a case where you touch someone at night, over there, even if you would have had two Kite Eidim, one of whom said he was alive until the morning, and one said he died before you touched him. In that case, Rebbe Meir still would have been Matayr. And therefore, it has nothing to do with Shnei Kite Eidim, because even in that case, Rebbe Meir would have been Matayr. Why? Because over there, you've got two reasons to be Matayr him. First of all, we know the guy was alive at one point, so we have a cheskas that he's chai. And then we know that the guy who touched him had originally been Torah, and now you're trying to take him off of his chazaka and making him tummy. So that's two chazakas. Mashenkin hacha in our Mishnah, you only have one chazaka, chora chazaka, because what are you going to say? Hamei truma cheskata. That's all you can say. Now use the chazaka, the truma, to create an Arab. Certainly you're not going to say anything about what it was before, and there was no Arab before. And therefore, in such a case, Rebbe Meir holds that we have to go lechumra. So at least Rebbe Meir comes out to be consistent. You don't have to come on to this business of two Eidim and so on and so forth. Meir. But of course, we do have a problem with Rebbe Yossi. We managed to ignore that part. Rebbe Yossi and our Mishnah said we could go Lakula. I mean, now it's even worse. I mean, why in this case over here is he Machmir? And when it comes to the Chumim, he was Mako. That we'll see tomorrow.